Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to another sparkling edition of the Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and him, Kevin O'Sullivan, my colleague at Talk Radio. This is, of course, doing very well now, this podcast, by the way. It's in the charts now, back in the charts, where it hasn't been for a while.
Chartbusters.
So we must be doing something right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, all the people that were wishing Matt Kelly were coming back have stopped saying it now.
He's a lovely guy, but he's a Remainer.
He's a lovely guy. One, he's a Remainer. Two, his job situation has changed slightly as well, so he's not in London as much as he was. So we'll try and get him back in for a guest spot.
It'd be nice, be good fun.
You know,
yeah.
But I mean, tracking this guy down is a real job and a half. You know, I've been trying to get him to go out for dinner with me since about 6 months ago. But anyway, listen, let's kick off with something that's close to your heart, following on from your plank of the week last week when you named, you know, Britain's Got Talent and the whole Ashley Banjo.
The point is the new storm involving whether or not you should take the knee is the England cricket team who didn't take the knee against Australia. Fantastic game, by the way.
Yeah. I'm not a big cricket fan, to be honest.
And nor did the Australians.
Right.
That's their choice. Michael Holding, the legendary West Indies bowler, came up and lashed into me. You've got to take the knee. You've got to take the knee. Jofra Archer, our young black bowler, said, no, we don't have to take the knee.
Right.
You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You can't tell us what to do. Now, this feeds into exactly what's going on at Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah.
That Diversity do a party political dance on behalf of Black Lives Matter on last Saturday's show. It is now creeping up on the most complained about show of all time to Ofcom, the watchdog that looks
after
the
team. Who have still done nothing about it, by the way.
And react.
I did say that they would probably be frightened, didn't I?
But what is ITV's reaction and Britain's Got Talent reaction to this, to announce triumphantly that Diversity will be doing a special Christmas show? In other words, they're saying, to their core audience, you lot can all fuck off.
Yeah, exactly.
This
right.
is not about you.
Also, Alicia Dixon said, did she not, that if there was a complaint,
kiss my back
upheld or something, that she would quit.
Yeah, well, she denied that, but she did say, you can kiss my black ass.
Did she?
But these are.
Blimey.
These are straw man arguments which allege that anybody who complained about the wrong arena to perform a political dance, i.e. an entertainment show, is somehow a racist.
Right.
That's bullshit.
Right.
It's not what the complaint about. The complaint is about breaking broadcasting rules.
Exactly right. But this is the trouble with now the world in which we live, because the rules can be broken by some people, but not by others.
Yeah.
For example, if you're in a Black Lives Matter march, you're fine. If a woman with six kids and two adults sits in a park, she gets the police feeling her collar, telling her, I don't know if you saw this on the news last night, telling her that she can't be sitting there with, you know, sort of nine people, including children, having a picnic.
What is
going on?
She should just say, actually, we're having a Black Lives Matter
protest. She should have just held up a placard.
Black Lives Matter protest picnic.
Then and then they would have had to be left alone.
What this is the mass imposition of a political orthodoxy.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, it's not an orthodoxy I particularly disagree with. I think Black Lives Matter. I hate racism. I think we should get rid of racism. I want equality of the races.
But you'll never get rid of racism.
However,
you won't ever get rid of it.
But it isn't the fucking point. It is not the place to make a demonstration, to make a protest, a mass family entertainment show on a Saturday night. That's against broadcasting rules.
Well,
where the fuck are Ofcom?
Well, exactly. But the bottom line is that if they don't do anything about this, that then leaves the door open for somebody else to come in and make some kind of political statement while entertaining the nation on Britain's Got Talent. You know, some comedian might go into some, you know, monologue about how great Boris Johnson is or why you should vote Tory.
And how dare Michael Holding criticise the England team for not taking the knee? You know, how dare he criticise a young black guy like Jofra Archer, who's actually West Indian by descent, for not taking the knee? That's their decision, and it isn't racist not
to
take the knee.
Well, also, to be honest, it shouldn't be... the whole team does it or doesn't do it. If some people want to do it, I would say, if I was the captain of, a cricket team and a couple of the players said, look, we'd quite like to do this, is that all right? I'd go, yeah, do what you like. But, you know, there's no reason why everybody should be made to do it. Do you remember there was a picture famously, I think, of one or two NFL players who refused to do it?
Yeah.
And they were castigated and called racist and all the rest of it. And I think a couple of them were actually white.
I think there might be a New Zealand rugby player as well.
There's a New Zealand rugby player who wouldn't do it. Because, of course, the Maoris have a very interesting view of the world. You know, people who come from that part of the world, they're quite religious. You know, we saw the... I think it was it not the same guy who got into trouble for saying something about gay people? You know, because they have religious beliefs. Now, you know, we've seen that before in the same way that that Australian guy who's been hired as the Brexit negotiator or
Tony
as part
Abbott,
of the team,
yeah.
Tony Abbott, is a very stringent Catholic, which is not to say that he's in some way evil. He just has certain beliefs which make him a conservative, which mean that in the old days when you were a conservative, you didn't actually hand loads of money away to people and tell everybody to ride around on a bicycle like Boris Johnson does.
Yeah, I know.
You know, actual conservatives didn't used
mean,
to believe
you mean in those
that,
days when conservatives weren't socialists
you know, they used to actually think that religion was quite important. They used to actually think that you know,
gay marriage
perhaps is not
right.
the greatest idea
right.
But it was said as if he was somehow the devil. You know, because, well, look at this bloke over. Look at him. Yeah. He doesn't believe in it.
Well, that, he was, they tried when he was appointed here as the trade envoy. They tried to cancel him in the time-honoured fashion. But to go back to Black Lives Matter, right? If you want me to take the knee for Black Lives Matter, small b, small l, small m,
right?
Because black lives do matter, I'll happily do that.
I still think it's a bit of a
but if you want me,
sugary stunt.
I'll do it.
You know?
But if you want me to take the knee for Black Lives Matter, the organisation that wants to destroy capitalism,
and the nuclear
destroy
family.
The nuclear family and defund the police, you can go fuck yourself.
Well,
I'm not going to do it.
Well, you know, I was looking at some of the coverage of old, what's-his-face, Hamilton, Lewis Hamilton, over the weekend.
God, what a
because
wanker
he's been
turning
getting,
into.
Well, I mean, he's now in trouble, it would seem, with the Formula One authorities because they've at least got the balls to criticise him because he wore that T-shirt at the weekend at the Grand Prix in which it said, arrest the police who killed this particular black woman in America. Can't remember her name. But also on the back of his T-shirt, he's got all these things that say trans power, gay power, black power, student power. Somebody sent me a tweet and said, why doesn't it say horsepower? Because that's what it should say. But I mean, he's turned into a right wally, hasn't he? Lewis Hamilton, I mean, one of the most privileged people on earth, makes an absolute fortune driving very expensive and highly fueled up, you know, sort of infestations of the environment, and then tells everybody to be green.
Yeah, I know. And all of a sudden, he's like this.
Yeah.
We never heard anything of this from him before.
No.
Along comes George Floyd, and suddenly he's campaigner of the year.
I know.
It's
I mean, I do wonder whether some of these guys have just seen an opportunity.
Yeah, business opportunity.
Yeah, business opportunity to get themselves front and centre, get more people talking about them, get more money coming out of stuff, you know.
But this is all now out of control.
Yeah.
You know, ITV and Britain's Got Talent are basically saying to their core audience, sorry, we don't care about what you think. We're too busy polishing our own halos, yeah. You know, virtue signalling how great we are. You can all fuck off and we're going to get diversity to do a special programme. That's what we think of your complaints. We don't care. Just like the BBC hates its own audience. Right. Now it seems ITV hates its own audience. Right. ITV, of course, like the BBC, basically made up of a load of middle-class, public-school-educated white people.
Yeah, exactly.
Self-loathing twat.
Well, interestingly enough, I mean, I'm getting a lot of people now coming to me saying, you know, ever since this whole business started, we don't watch football anymore. They just don't bother with the Premier League. I mean, it's difficult enough anyway. But, you know, when they're all on their knees half the time at the start of every game, people are going, what the hell are you doing? You know, we don't want to watch you on your knees. We want to watch you play football.
Yeah, I'd rather Fulham weren't on the knees at the end of the game against Arsenal when we lost 3-0.
It's at the start of the game that needs to be doing it, you know, not at the end. But, you know, the bottom line is, well, it was a tough old first fixture.
Premier, you're right, Mike. Premier League, again, alienating its own fans. As Rod Liddell said, he supports two teams, Millwall and Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
He said, if there was a crowd when both teams took the knee, you wait and see what the reaction would be.
Oh,
it would be mass booing.
Oh,
why
it would be.
Are they declaring war on their own fans?
I know.
Why?
I don't understand it. I really don't. And it seems to me that it's got to surely stop at some point. Surely it will be somebody will take a stand and they'll become a pariah for a while, but they will be some, you know, well, some Premier League footballer will just say, you know what, I'm not doing it.
Well, one thing that maybe, hopefully, is a wake-up call for ITV in the Black Lives Matter dispute is, of course, Ashley Banjo, great man of letters, is going around.
Thanks. Do you know, also, I saw a really interesting piece about him, privately educated,
of course.
Went to sort of stage school, got his first break as a result of being picked out
stage
of a lineup
kid,
or something. Yeah. I mean, this is not an underprivileged kid from White City.
And diversity, there's no diversity in diversity.
No.
But he says, thanks for everybody for your overwhelming support. 450,000 viewers deserted.
Really?
Britain's Got Talent this week.
Right.
So nearly 500,000 out of an audience of 5 million stopped watching it because of this. Plus, there are now nearly 23,000 complaints, 2,000 more, and it is the most complained about programme of all time.
That's extraordinary.
That is not overwhelming.
And how can
support.
They not take
That's
any notice of that?
Rejection.
But also, how can they not take any notice of that? And worse,
because
actually compound it. Compound it by saying, oh, don't worry, you'll be able to see more of the same in a special programme at Christmas.
Because they're virtue-signalling twats who hate their own audience.
It's
they're idiots. And all this nonsense has got to stop. This isn't normal.
No.
We've got to get... It's like COVID. We've got to get back to normal.
Yeah, yeah. It really isn't normal. We'll talk about COVID in a minute, but I wanted to bring this up because I got this today. It's from a listener who listens to your show and my show on Talk Radio as well as listening to this. And it's a woman called Jeannie. Doesn't say where she's from. But she says that she's a very sensible former civil servant from Yorkshire. Actually, she may still be a civil servant. She says, I'm a 58-year-old civil servant from Yorkshire, semi-retired. I consider myself to be a reasonably intelligent woman, objectively analysing and evaluating most issues. But she's asking this question, and she's asking it of you, me and Ian Collins, funnily enough. And she basically is wondering, and she says, literally, I don't want you to think I've gone mad here, but what on earth is going on? This draconian cobblers that we're all having to live through, this nonsensical kind of set of rules that we're supposed to, you know, abide by every single minute of every single day. She says, she's not a conspiracy theorist, but the more she thinks about it, the more she's thinking there must be something more going on. Now, I don't think there is, but what do you make of it?
Well, I don't think it's a conspiracy theory. I mean, this is Great Britain. In fact, anywhere in the world, never believe the conspiracy theory. You know that thing, conspiracy or cock-up. It's always cock-up.
Right.
What I think is happening here and in governments all over the rest of the world, but particularly here, is this government, this coronaphobic, crazed government, is being carried forward on the momentum or by the momentum of its own rhetoric and its own narrative.
Yeah.
It has persuaded itself that we now have the worst pandemic in the history of mankind. It's nowhere near that, by the way.
Yeah.
And that there's a second wave coming and this is terrible and people are going to die. Well, they're not dying. We have the lowest death rate since March. 600 people in hospital out of a population of 67 million.
Yeah.
Only back in April, there were 17,000 people in hospital 52 people on ventilators. This fucking thing is dying out.
Yeah.
And yet the government can't bring itself to say, actually, we probably overdid all this.
Yeah, right. Because they're terrified, of course, in case they do get it wrong. Because if there was to be a second wave, you know, they would be castigated by all those people who say, but you let all these old people
die. Do you
know
what, though, Mike?
You know.
I don't think there would be now. I think people all over the country are saying, look, and I don't celebrate, I don't want this to happen. But say, as they say, worst case scenario, 500,000 Brits died. I think people are now saying that's better than locking us down again, taking away our freedom,
ruining our lives. We've got an awfully long way to go before we get to 500,000 from 40,000.
No, but
we don't even know if those 40,000 actually died from COVID anyway.
We're never going to get to 500,000. We've been stuck on 41,000 for fucking weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, with the death toll, what was it, yesterday's 5? Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're showing these ridiculous graphs and go, look, it's going up.
Yes,
look,
cases.
Well,
cases.
Do you know what I found out? Yeah, and I've probably explained this more times than I've shaken a stick at it. But this R rate is absolute cobblers, right? It's completely, kind of invented by scientists at Imperial College. Yeah. Okay. Now, what it does is it collects a series of data.
Out of their arsehole.
Yeah. Neil Ferguson's his name. And they basically take a whole series of different bits of data. Now, some of the data they collect is on what people are doing. Okay. So when they reopened the pubs, the R rate immediately went up.
Yeah.
Not because people were getting more infected, but because more people were out. When the schools reopened, the R rate immediately went up because more people are
getting together.
That doesn't mean that the R rate is actually a rate of anything. It's bollocks. It's actual bollocks.
The R rate is like number of new cases. It is designed.
It's not even that accurate.
It's a statistic designed to a shit statistic designed to scare us.
It's not. Yeah, but it's not even based upon that. It's based upon all sorts of different things.
Yeah, but you see what I mean.
Which they then project into. Yeah. This is what we think it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how is that scientific?
Well, it's not scientific.
I mean,
is it?
You'd be better off spinning a fucking coin.
And by the way, talking of unscientific,
heads or tails? Yeah. Should we lock down? Yeah, go on.
That's about where we're at.
It's pretty much where
we
are.
How many scientists? You know, a lot of scientists who've been warning about how bad this would be. How many of them came out and said, rule of six, this is arbitrary, unscientific bollocks.
It is.
Everybody says this. What is this about? This is
about... Do you know, I was reading, I think it was France, I can't remember.
It's a lockdown light, isn't it?
Yeah. I was reading about something like, I think it was France, and they've now reduced the number of people who can hang out together. So you know what number?
Yeah.
1,000. We're at 6. You're going, hang on a minute. You know, I know their rates are going up, but really?
I mean, only 1,000.
How about taking a random figure like 100? That'd be all right, wouldn't it?
1,000, that's about as big as it gets. Isn't
Yeah.
And 1,000 people around for dinner.
I mean, listen, that would be tough, even in my garden. But, you know, I mean, how can everybody just have these random arbitrary numbers and they're all different?
Yeah. You know, why can't we start acting on the statistics as we have them now? You know, record low number of deaths, hardly anyone dying, actually no one in hospital, virtually no one on ventilators, and new cases, most of them are asymptomatic and in young people. So what we're talking about is, a few people are getting the flu.
Yeah, yeah. 20%,
bollocks,
I'm told.
It's bollocks.
20% of those infected currently are now apparently... showing symptoms, but that's only 20%. Yeah. So that means 80% are not showing symptoms.
The mood of the country now, to my mind, is quite clearly everyone saying, give us our lives back, stop all this shit, and we'll take our chances. If 100,000 die, surely that is better than what they've done to us for the last 5 months.
But tragically, I still would think there's a sort of sizable majority of people, some of whom are driven by ideology, lefties, in other words, some of whom are these kind of, you know, bedwetting Remainers who don't want to go out of the house because it's too dangerous. But they don't mind cycling around on a fucking road, risking their life in front of a fucking Range Rover, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, there are people. I mean, I was talking to a guy over at Borough Market the other week because I was over there having dinner. Because they've done some amazing stuff over there. You should check it out in the evening.
Yeah,
right?
I heard. Yeah.
He was saying that he had people who were going to come to the restaurant this week who've now cancelled because this new rule of six is coming. Not because they had more than six people, but because they're scared.
Because reignited
their fear.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I just don't get it.
Well,
I really don't.
I don't I think there are more and more people saying we're not going to be scared of this anymore. I do think the British spirit is resurging. More and more people are going to tell Boris. He's dancing on the edge, by the way, of mass rebellion. Yeah. People are telling him he can stick his rule of six where the sun doesn't shine, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on, I think, that he's not going to get away with these stupid little diktats that don't amount to a hill of beans. It's ridiculous.
Well, I just think that's absolutely right.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now, I've got something here for you, because I want to give you a little test.
I know what this is.
This is the drinking too much test,
yeah,
right?
I had a little test of it this morning. Yeah,
I bet you had a bigger number than me. I had 13 in the end, which apparently means that I am... a score of 8 plus indicates harmful or hazardous drinking.
Oh, I think I did do it earlier, so I think I got 12 or
but
something.
But, I mean, who, how about this, though? How often do you have a drink containing alcohol? A, never. Now, the only people I know that don't drink are alcoholics, right, yeah. Who don't drink, right? Well, they had to give it up for some medical reason. Monthly or less, 2 to 4 times a month, 2 to 3 times a week, 4 or more times a week. I mean, you must have said four or more times a week. I mean, I do have days when I don't drink.
It's all right.
You know, not very many, but I normally don't drink on a Sunday because I'm in Sussex and I'm driving back to London.
Yeah.
I will occasionally have a glass of wine when I get to London, but not every Sunday. But some very bizarre kind of questions. You know, during the past year, how often have you had a feeling of guilt or remorse after drinking? Well, I don't feel guilt or remorse about anything.
Well, that's one. No, never.
So, I mean, never, basically.
And there are things like, what is it?
Has a friend or relative or doctor ever been concerned about your drinking or suggested you cut down?
No. My wife is often worried that I don't drink enough.
She's a fine woman.
So I do try to keep up with her.
But I mean, you know, again, I have to say, the old nanny state people, I mean, I had on today.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I heard it,
to say that 8 million people are now problem drinkers in this country. Yeah. I mean, drinking in this country is one of the great traditions of being British.
8 million problem drinkers in this country.
No.
This feeds into the shit they put on the front page of The Guardian every day. You know, new lefty organisation comes up with some survey. More children are more miserable in Britain than they ever have been before.
Yeah, what a load
more
of rubbish.
More and more people are suffering mental health problems. More and more people are going to food banks.
Well, today's one was great. It was more and more people are suffering from anxiety. And then above it, it talks about chaos after Brexit because there's going to be loads of lorries parked in Kent.
Yeah.
And you go, well, no wonder they're anxious because you keep filling their fucking heads full of fear.
Well, you and I know this,
you
Mike.
Know?
The listeners to this podcast should know there is a massive industry. Every day, these left-wing organisations putting out surveys to prove that Tory Britain is falling apart of the scene.
Also, to justify their own existence.
Yeah.
Like the Children's Society, right?
Yeah.
I worked out. Do you know how many people they employ as a charity? About 600. I mean, it's a fucking joke,
they've got
right?
no money left to look after the children.
They've got 60. I checked them out. They've got £63 million in the bank, which they don't use for anything. They just keep it sitting there, like most of these charities, right? You know, I thought to myself, you know, if you gave it to all these underprivileged kids, the 63 million, you'd actually make them happier rather than complaining about how miserable they are.
Everyone with half a brain knows that the charity business is a racket. It just is a racket.
Do you know, I've got a theory as well about London and why it's full of so many fuckwits. And I think there's so many of them working in charities.
Yeah.
They're working in these, because these are big organisations, remember. They're not just like,
loads of people earning six-figure salaries.
Yeah, loads of people earning six-figure salaries in these charities. Working for think tanks, working for all sorts of kind of academic organisations like Imperial College. Yeah. You know, they're all massive lefties. You know, this is why we're never going to get rid of Sadiq Khan and why no Tory MP will really ever hold a proper seat in London anymore because it's full of these tossers.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, self-harming tossers who vote against their own interests.
Yeah.
But if you work for a charity, I think Oxfam's got 22 six-figure salary employees. If you're working for a charity...
That's just the sex offenders, presumably.
And you're on £100,000 or more, you should ask yourself whether drawing that kind of salary is a very charitable thing to do, because it's fucking not.
It really isn't. And
it's horrible.
You should be doing... And people say, oh, yes, but we need people of commensurate talent.
Bollocks.
Absolute rubbish.
Bollocks.
It was like when I lived in Edinburgh. And the leader of the Edinburgh City Council, who was just a jumped-up councillor, effectively, was on something like £700,000 a year.
Well, the town hall people.
Because they had to... And the argument for them getting that much money was that, oh, but, you know, she's handling a budget of something like £40 billion. Pounds.
Can you explain to me then why it is that the woman who runs Edinburgh should earn seven times more than the man who runs the United Kingdom? Doesn't really make a lot of fucking
sense, does it? No. But this is the trouble. But they justify them. And also, she wouldn't get a job doing anything else. I mean, if you said, oh, but she has to have commensurate with the private sector. Why? The whole point of the public sector was that you had a cushy number, that you basically got much better pension and a much better, you know, benefits package. Yeah. You didn't have to work for as long. Yeah. You could retire early and you got loads of holidays.
Yeah. And that's,
why you get a little bit less money. But now they get more money plus all that other stuff.
It's always been bullshit. It's the BBC argument.
Yeah.
That's why we pay everybody and our stars so much, because it's commensurate with the private sector. The actual truth is they've used that argument for ages to sustain their inflated salary system. And in fact, they earn miles more than anyone in the private sector.
Have you seen it? They've now worked out the BBC. Their latest wheeze is that they're not going to have so many meetings. They think that's a good idea not to have any meetings.
Well, then they'll have nothing to do. That's all they do, have meetings.
When I worked in a radio station in Scotland, I had this guy. In fact, you might even know him, because he worked at Talk Sport for a while. He came up to be our kind of station manager, because I knew literally nothing about the radio business at all, but they made me programme director, hilariously. but their argument was, well, you know what's...
Gotta love the media, aren't you?
I was like, yeah, they hired me to do the mid-morning show, and then they said, well, why don't you just run it? And I said, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And they went, well, you know what should be on the air, you know what the content should be. And I went, yeah, you know what story is, yeah. We'll send somebody up that can do all the other bits, you know, which was basically the clock, as they say, you know, arranging what, you know, when the breaks are, doing all the commercial shit. You know, figuring out how to do the jingles and all the kind of stuff that radio people know about, which I still really don't know very much about, to be honest. But he used to have meetings, right? I actually fell asleep in one of his meetings, because we were in there for about an hour and 10 minutes. And I just said, look, I've got to go. I can only do about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That's my attention span, right? He was in a meeting with the MD of the company for 3 hours.
It's bullshit.
3 hours.
People in meetings are not working.
No.
They're not doing anything constructive. So meetings are, they're not an entire waste of time, but they never need to be more than 15 minutes.
Do you remember those great think tanks we used to go on with the Mirror?
Drink tanks.
Drink tanks. We went to La Manga once, right?
I remember.
Got there on a Friday night.
I remember you playing American Pie and me dancing on the piano.
That's right. And we
Mike's
got there.
A good pianist, by the way, everybody.
Got there on a Friday night and basically just got absolutely shit-faced for about 3 days. And at some point, I think on Saturday morning, we had a meeting, didn't we? We had one meeting where a bunch of us, about 30 of us, I think it was.
Piers Morgan
team,
was our
Piers
editor.
Morgan.
Yeah.
And then we played golf.
Yes,
I seem
we
to
did.
Remember.
We did.
Not very well.
Because we were all so hungover.
And then flew back. It was great fun. Then we did the other one. Did you go the one in Dublin as well?
No, I didn't go on that one. No.
I think you were.
I just got back from the States. So.
That was when Des Kelly said to me at one point in the bar, well, if you're so fucking good, why are you in Scotland? And I thought that was a bit harsh.
It's a fair point.
Because I was basically saying, I was complaining about something the paper wasn't doing very well. He was a deputy editor at the time. And we didn't get on terribly well. But we get on now, fine now. But I mean, it was another one of these things. I remember playing golf on Royal Dublin with Craig and Piers. We then just basically drank all night. I think went to bed at about 5, got up at about 7.
To go to the meeting.
Breakfast and have the 8 o'clock sort of, you know.
And then can't wait for the meeting.
Is that
to
not
end,
where they came up with the 3 a.m. girls? Was that not the place? Was that not that one?
I seem
to remember.
Yes, it was.
I think Wallace was there and Willis was there.
It was.
And that was when they came up with the 3 a.m. girls, which are no more, right? The 3 a.m. girls have disappeared.
They've gone a long time ago. They were too successful.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't want to keep that.
It's a Daily Mirror. They don't like success.
Did you see their splash? Flash today about the grouse shooting.
Grouse shooting.
I mean, you know, not bad, I suppose, but you do wonder sometimes.
I didn't like that rule. I think it's horrible. I don't like grouse shooting and things like that.
But, no, I know. Actually, I've got a bone to pick with you.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm glad you reminded me. Now. Well, I was listening to your show on Sunday, was it Sunday?
Yeah.
When you had the seagull woman on.
Yeah.
And you kept referring to seagulls as these glorious creatures. I was like, I nearly crashed the fucking car. I fucking hate seagulls, right? I'll tell you why I hate them, because apart from the fact that they used to be all over the streets of Glasgow, and I'm going, and I used to live
they
in the middle
dangerous.
Of Glasgow. Well, one, they're dangerous. Two, they're huge, right? And three, they're noisy, you know? And I woke up one morning, I thought,
they are fucking
have I woken up at the fucking seaside? Yeah. You know, why is it so, why are they Christ almighty. And yeah. Then I first moved down to the South Coast, lived in Hastings. We lived in a street where they didn't have any proper wheelie bins, right? Yeah. So on the day of the garbage collection or the rubbish collection, you'd have to put the plastic bags out on the street.
Uh-huh.
Guess what happened? They literally start dive bombing the plastic bags because they knew it was rubbish and it was food. And they would just literally strew rubbish all over the street. Every single second Thursday.
It's just that we tend to, you know, like that, as that lady pointed out, they dive bomb kids and nick their chips, and they are quite frightening. But I don't like, you know, that these three towns in the northwest, Whitby, Filey, and Scarborough, have declared war on these pesky
seagulls. I thought they
seagulls.
Were protected species,
but,
to be honest.
But they're going to get 2,000 quid grants to put spikes on their roofs and anti-gull gel. I don't like things
See,
like
interestingly
that.
Enough,
That's
in, Edinburgh,
cruel. That's
in
cruel.
Edinburgh, we had a big campaign about them at the radio station. We discovered that, in fact, you couldn't do anything to them because one of the problems that people have is that they crap everywhere, apart from anything else. But they also, they're quite prodigious in the way that they breed. And there's baby seagulls
like
everywhere.
Yeah.
And they make a fucking lot of noise. And they're always on the roofs of all the buildings, right?
And
they had one guy who was employed by the council, you know, thanks to the woman with the £700,000 salary. And he was allowed to put sort of some kind of sort of seagull repellent on the roofs.
That's what they're doing.
But it doesn't
towns.
Kill them. It just sort of makes them not want to sit there.
It's a gel. Literally, they can't get a foothold.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
But I don't like things like that. Certainly don't like the idea.
But I'll tell you one story. When I was driving around Glasgow one time, and I was driving. You know, when you see a bird in the middle of the road, there was a seagull, and they're about this high.
And they're massive. Yeah.
About knee high, right? Yeah. And I'm thinking he'll fly off because they always do.
Don't tell me
He didn't move. And so I hit it, yeah. And so there was this clunk, right?
That's not funny.
I clunked into it. No, it is funny because I looked in the rearview mirror and literally shook his head like that. He flew off.
That is funny.
He flew off.
So he's just a fuck that.
I mean, he was like, fuck, it's just a C-class Mercedes.
Just a car.
Yeah. I mean, literally, not an injury in sight. Shook it off and flew away.
I think they're tough old birds, literally.
They really are.
A couple of other things I think we should talk about. I want to highlight a question of support. I would like to support the three people who got sacked. Sue Barker,
too old,
Phil
apparently.
Tufnell, Matt Dawson.
Yeah.
The question that has to be asked. Sure, I don't mind the idea of revamping a show with hosts and people who've been on it for many years.
I used to watch A Question of Sport. I haven't watched it for years.
But, you know, the question you have to ask is, you know, why are they really getting sacked?
Yeah.
Is it because of the colour of their skin? Are they
it
too
might be.
White? You know, we all know at the BBC now, if you're not BAME, you're not in the game.
No.
And they will be replaced by BAME. People,
they
people
will.
Of colour. I have no objection to that. I just think,
but as long as they're not doing it just for the sake of it,
well,
that's the problem.
You know
isn't it?
Why they're doing it.
Yeah,
you know why they're doing it.
And but as somebody said to me, well, surely if they're clearing out all the white middle-aged men, shouldn't they be getting rid of Lineker?
Yeah, well,
when's that going to happen?
Not to mention the entire executive structure at the BBC.
Yeah, management floor.
Yeah, which is so.
What about Hugh Edwards?
Yeah, yeah, get rid of him. They had a poll. We had a poll on Talk Radio last night in my show, which was if they get rid of Sue Barker, Phil Tufnell, and Matt Dawson, will you still watch the show?
Yeah.
94% no, 6% yes.
Really? Because people are fed up with it now.
It's another imposition
of
political orthodoxy.
Yeah.
Imposition. Mm. You know, and they've got to stop doing this. People, it's not that people are racist. It's they don't want to be told what they are supposed to be thinking.
People are not racist in this country, right? We have had, look at the footballers that we've produced in this country. By far and away, the large bulk now of English successful English footballers who play for the national team are mixed race.
Yeah.
Almost all of them, right?
Yeah.
There's very few who are not. And that tells you something about the culture of this country. It means that, you know, because in America, as you know better than anyone, there's a very big black culture, which doesn't exist here. So the whole Black Lives Matter thing is fine in America because they've got large portions of the community in every city in living sort of in ghettos, basically, because the white people live over there and the black people live over there. It's not like that here.
No.
In this country, first of all, we don't have as many black people as they have in America by proportion. And second of all, you know, there are many more mixed marriages in this country where people who are black marry women who are white or vice versa, you know? And so that tells you more than anything, I would have thought, that we are not a racist country.
Yeah, those three are getting a sack in my view because they're too white and too middle class.
Well, can you imagine if, for example, Sue Barker was black and too old, would she have been sacked?
Well,
Probably not.
Yeah, I put the question last night, is the sacking of Sue Barker racist, sexist and ageist?
Right.
The answer to all three is very possibly
probably
yes.
All three, yeah, absolutely.
So it's the BBC in action. Talking of losers, let's talk about Ed Miliband returning to the Dispatch.
Well, do you know what I said today was how embarrassing to be a member of the Labour Party, which is clearly ashamed of Angela Rayner.
Yeah.
Now, funnily
talking
enough...
Talking about sexist...
Yeah. I mean, funnily enough, Angela Rayner...
They can't bear the idea of a woman
even though,
in charge,
no,
can
even
they?
Though she's actually blocked me. Because
lucky you.
When she went on Question Time, I actually tweeted, you know, I think Angela Rayner's the thickest person that's ever appeared on Question Time.
And she That's saying something.
I mean, you know, that is saying something. And it's also true. But actually, I was told a funny story by somebody who and it made me sort of warm to her. Apparently, it was somebody who was covering some election campaign that she was on, and she turned up, and she, you know, she sort of brushes up quite well, as it were, and she was well dressed, and whoever it was had said to her, "Oh, you look as if you might have lost a bit of weight." They were sort of friends with her, and she said, "No one wants to vote for a fat bird."
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, I think she's all right,
like
old Angela Rayner.
I quite like all that.
I think she's all right, old Angela Rayner.
But she, could,
I think
she was
I
looking
think
daggers at Miliband yesterday.
I think it's a disgrace. What is it with that fucking Labour Party?
Yeah.
They hate women so much. Why can't the deputy leader take the Dispatch box?
Right. And of course, I was
back,
getting...
By the way, going back to Ed Miliband was such a retrograde step.
Oh.
And they said, what a powerful speech
what
he made.
What a marvellous
yeah,
man.
Yeah, really
well,
powerful. Really effective,
you know,
wasn't it?
Sir Keir Stoner thought it was a great idea to bring him back into the cabinet because of his amazing intellect.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Really?
Oh, by the way,
he's not even the cleverest Miliband.
Yeah, exactly. He's not even the best politician in his own family.
Right.
that speech was so effective that Boris won by 77
yeah.
votes.
Well, this is it. All these Labour people, they're so, like, sort of deluded, right? Mm-hmm. They were like, hey, wipe the floor with Boris.
Yes.
Hey, wipe the floor
no,
with
No, he didn't. He lost.
No, he lost the vote. By a massive
massively,
margin.
Yeah. Massively.
And in fact, also, this idea that somehow he, and people were like, you don't know anything about parliamentary procedure. Obviously, it was down to Miliband because he's the opposite number of Alok Sharma, who was supposed to be presenting the bill.
No.
But of course, I said, well, hang on a minute. Well, when that was changed and Boris Johnson was doing it, then surely it would have been Keir Starmer, who's now not there because he's got COVID or might have COVID. So she's the deputy.
Yeah,
she should bloody well do it.
Yeah,
but exactly. They clearly didn't want her to because they were too worried. It would be a masterstroke to put her up against Boris because if you do believe that Boris Johnson is a misogynist, which I don't, but I think he probably would talk to a woman slightly differently than he would talk to a man, he's almost bound to say something condescending to somebody like her, and then she could make him look really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you were sensible,
you
would put her up against him because he would be pretending she was stupid. He would pretend he was cleverer than her. You know, it'd be public schoolboy against teenage mum.
I felt sorry for her. I thought she should have had her chance.
Yeah.
To go back to the basic issue, do you give a fuck about international law being broken?
No.
No.
Not at all.
No.
Well, this is why I was amazed by old, Tony Blair's intervention. Because I seem to remember the last time we broke international law was when we illegally invaded Iraq.
Yeah.
Thanks to Tony Blair
countries
and
break
Lord
into,
Charlie Faulkner.
Countries break treaties and international law all the time.
I couldn't give a stuff.
So what you got? You've got Theresa May, Tony Blair,
right.
Gordon Brown, David Cameron and Sir John Major all saying it's outrageous. What's the common denominator between that?
They're all wankers.
No, they're all... they're, yeah, They're all wankers. They're all Remainers.
Right.
They're all Remainers.
They're all Remainers.
So what we are witnessing with this international law bollocks that not a single citizen in this country gives a shit about is the last roar of the dying Remainer lion. Mm. It's another attempt by the Remainers to stop us leaving Europe, and they can just fuck off because we're out.
Yeah, exactly right. It's more like the cowardly lion from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
You know, but this is the problem. These idiots, right, think that people care what they think. Nobody cares what Tony Blair thinks. Mm. Everybody hates him now. Yeah. Nobody cares what Cameron thinks. Nobody cares what Gordon Brown thinks. He wasn't even elected.
Yeah.
This is a bloke who became Prime Minister. Do you remember he had to be dragged, kicking and screaming out on fucking Downing Street?
Yeah.
Because he's so desperate to do a deal with the Lib Dems.
Anybody.
Anyone.
Yeah.
You know, can you stay for another 5 years? Yeah. You know, no, you can't.
Is
fuck
that
off.
The EDL?
No, get lost, you know, because you're no bloody use. You've managed to sell off all the... You know, the only thing he's famous for doing is selling off all the gold when it was at rock bottom.
Yeah.
Right? Making absolutely no money at all for the Treasury. Yeah, well done, Gordy.
And assuring us that boom
and Theresa May, one of the worst Prime Ministers we've ever had, who couldn't literally pass a kidney stone, never mind the fucking Brexit bill, absolutely hopeless.
Yeah,
completely hopeless.
Yeah,
but the vast bulk of people in this country, I said this as well about the Tory MPs who voted against it or who abstained, you know, did they not realise that they were voted in to get Brexit done, not to complain that this is not the way to do it?
But by the way, when push came to shove, clearly not many of them did go against their own vote because...
There was only two, I think, in the end, wasn't it?
79 majority, 77 majority to pass the internal market bill.
Yes, so. But a bunch of them abstained, which I've never quite understood.
Yeah, I loved Theresa May's intervention. Yeah, you're a real role model when it comes to negotiating with the EU.
Yeah, absolutely. You did
a
great job you did.
Right now.
Also, I'll tell you, the other two people I don't want to hear from anymore, David bloody Gawk, right? Yeah. Failed he's about as awkward as you know my left foot.
So but boring.
He's
isn't
so
it?
Boring, right? This is a guy who, when he was in charge of the Ministry of Justice, if you remember, refused point blank to do a judicial review of the release of the black cab rapist, right?
Yeah.
He took the two women who had been attacked by him, one of whom was Carrie Simmons.
The people of this country went crazy.
Yeah. But he was given the opportunity. He could have been a hero of the hour. He could have said, right, we're going to do a judicial review. We're going to keep this guy in prison rather than letting him out to attack his former, you know, victims. But instead, it had to be two individual women who took a private prosecution out to keep him in prison.
Yeah.
So he got that fucking wrong. Yeah. And then Dominic Grieve's the other one. He's terribly clever, Dominic Grieve. You know, he's one of these guys that walks around thinking...
Dominic who? Where is he now?
Yeah. Dominic, you know, Dominic Grief, I call him.
Yeah.
But he's literally, you know, he thinks he's the sort of the single-handed... guardian of our liberty or something.
Yeah, well,
and he thinks that we shouldn't be leaving the EU.
Yeah,
well, tough shit, mate. Yeah. We're leaving. Nothing to do with you. Bugger off.
Look what you ruined your career on the basis of.
Right.
An inevitability that in the end, this country, decent at heart as it is, would go with what the people voted
and
for.
Also, they both stood to be re-elected as independents and both lost.
Yeah, badly.
So
very, very badly.
Would you mind just taking the fucking message and fucking off?
Yeah, exactly. It's a disgrace we took 4 years to do what the public voted for, but finally we got there in the end. And although Boris is a disaster on COVID, he's
good,
good
on Brexit. Well, he is. And I was hoping that
he
maybe pick up some momentum from the Brexit victory that will inevitably come and somehow inject it into the way he's dealing with everything else.
I think the next month or two, he's got to start realising what the people are thinking about COVID, and that is, give us back our lives, we'll deal with it ourselves, no more of Matt Hancock's pathetic little diktats, and we'll get together in groups of bigger than six if we fucking well want to.
Exactly right. I'll see you at the next Rolling Stones concert or something. This has been The Thought Police. We'll see you next week. I was looking at some of the coverage of old, Hamilton, Lewis Hamilton, over the weekend.
God, what a
because
wanker
he's been
turning
getting.
Into,
well, I mean, he's now in trouble, it would seem, with the Formula One authorities because they've at least got the balls to criticise him because he wore that T-shirt at the weekend at the Grand Prix in which it said, arrest the police who killed this particular black woman in America. Can't remember her name. But also on the back of his T-shirt, he's got all these things that say trans power, gay power, black power, student power. Somebody sent me a tweet and said, why doesn't it say horsepower? Because that's what it should say. And I mean, he's turned into a right wally, hasn't he? Lewis Hamilton, I mean, one of the most privileged people on earth, makes an absolute fortune driving very expensive and highly fueled up, infestations of the environment, and then tells everybody to be green.
Yeah, I know. And it's all of a sudden he's like this. Yeah. We've never heard anything of this from him before.
No. I was driving around Glasgow one time, and I was driving, you know, when you see a bird in the middle of the road, there was a seagull, and they're about this high.
And they're massive,
yeah. About knee high, right? Yeah. And I'm thinking he'll fly off, because they always do.
Don't tell me
He didn't move, and so I hit it, yeah. And so there was this clunk, right?
That's not funny.
I clunked into it. No, it is funny, because I looked in the rearview mirror, and literally, he was shook as a little like that. He flew off.
That is funny.
He flew off.
So he just said, fuck that.
I mean, he was like, fuck, it's just a C-class Mercedes.
Just a car.
Yeah. I mean, literally, not an injury in sight. Shook it off and flew away.
I think they're tough old birds, literally.
They really are.
Rule of six? Mm. This is arbitrary, unscientific bollocks.
It is.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.